Please, everybody, may I wish you all welcome. I hope you had a splendid night in Rome yesterday. Today we are going to have a long day's work, and we shall all cooperate to go through as large a part of the agenda as possible. But before we start, I would like to suggest an amendment to the agenda, I mean the sequencing of the points in the agenda. We have been asked by the FAO for practical reasons if it is possible to take the point in agenda point 3B, implications of amendments to Article 9 of the Statutes of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. And obviously we want to be helpful to the FAO as far as possible. Therefore, it is a suggestion of the chair that we simply start taking agenda point 3, financial and budgetary matters, because we think if we start to move around the sequencing of agenda points, it's better to take them in lumps, and therefore we would suggest to take the whole part 3. That would include what is already indicated in the agenda revision 1, but we also suggest to add point 5C, which is the discussion paper on the business plan, which has been prepared by Australia and New Zealand. We do that because we think this agenda point would more logically be discussed in connection with the budgetary discussions, by all means, because it is certainly closely related to each other, and the budget and the discussion of a possible development of how to make the budgets should be taken under one agenda point. So I hope the committee can accept these changes. I know that it is bit abrupt, but we would like to be helpful to the FAO, and therefore we suggest this change of agenda. Is that acceptable to everybody, or do I see objections? I don't see any objections, so I decide that this is how we do it. And further, I would suggest that because of this practical background for changing this the sequencing of the agenda, we start with point 3B from the agenda. That means implications of amendments to Article 9 of the Statutes of Codex Alimentarius Commission. This is where the legal service has something to say to the committee, and therefore I suggest that we start with this point. This would be the most practical way to handle it. So if that is okay with everybody, and I don't see any opposition, then I would like to give the word to the FAO legal service. Please come with your comments on this issue.
Thank you, sir. I wanted first of all to thank you for and through you the committee for having allowed this matter to be addressed now. There are a number of initiatives going on in FAO at this time, and our availability is in fact rather limited, so we thank you very much for your understanding. On the substance, sir, we don't have much to say on the situation. As you know, this item has been on the agenda of the Executive Committee at the session of June of last year and at the session of the Commission. Basically, under Article 9 of the Statutes of the Commission, there is a reference to the fact that Directors General of FAO and WHO determine jointly the respective portion of the costs of the joint FAO-WHO food standards program to be borne by each organization and prepare the corresponding annual expenditure estimates for inclusion in the regular budgets of the two organizations. There is a proposal made by essentially by the Food Safety Division of WHO to delete the word regular before the word budget. Although this seems a simple and straightforward proposal, we, for the time being, have not been able, both for policy and legal reasons, to agree on a form of wording for this amendment. The legal office of FAO, as is the case with the legal office of WHO, are for the time being rather prudent about this initiative, basically because from a legal point of view, this article as it stands has never prevented Codex from benefiting from resources from the regular program and from extra budgetary contributions. And we have in FAO, and presumably this is also the case in WHO, a possibility of receiving extra budgetary contributions in support of the regular program, which is financed by assessed contributions. So where do we stand on this matter? We still need to continue to discuss with our colleagues of WHO, with our colleagues of the legal office of WHO, with our colleagues of the Food Safety Division, a form of wording for this amendment. That, Mr. Chairman, as far as I can go for the time being, we, as I said, regret that we were not able to present this paper now, and we'll continue to discuss, and we will refer to you a proposal as soon as we'll be in a position to do so. Of course, I stand ready to answer any questions that may be asked. Thank you.
Thank you to the legal service of the FAO. Does the explanation from FAO require comments? I see flag from Latin American member, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Una sola aclaración que es, creo, lo que suele plantearnos dudas en el caso de los fondos extrapresupuestarios. En muchas oportunidades, la información que se nos ha dado es que en determinadas ocasiones quien provee esos fondos extrapresupuestarios decide sobre qué actividades van a emplearse. Y la verdad es que esto nos preocupa mucho porque o establece los criterios con los que van a emplearse. Esto es muy habitual en la FAO, donde determinados fondos extrapresupuestarios se utilizan para programas de capacitación en tal o en cual lugar. Lo hemos visto en el fondo fiduciario. Y realmente lo que me preocupa es qué pasaría con el Códex, en el sentido de si el hecho de admitir en el Códex que parte de sus actividades serían con fondos extrapresupuestarios, también determinaría cómo sería la agenda del Códex. Quisiera, por favor, que quede como observación para que conjuntamente, cuando el cuerpo legal haga el análisis de cómo sería esta redacción, también haga un análisis respecto a los márgenes o las libertades que se le permitirían a todos los miembros del Códex para seguir definiendo su programa de actividades. Gracias.
Thank you, Latin America. Before I give the word to the FAO for answer, there are other flags. The Vice Chair and Menino, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. LIGO did indicate that according to Article 9, they had difficulty in removing the word regular, as suggested by WHO. And yet, he goes on to inform us that they have no difficulty in the two organizations receiving extra budgetary funds. So if they have no problem, why is it that they find it difficult to remove the word regular and just leave budget? I just wanted some clarification from LIGO. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Then I give the word to the coordinator of Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm, as you see, the coordinator from Europe, but I'm as well the permanent from Switzerland to FAO. And when I listen to you and the explanation, and I went through the paper of the proposal from New Zealand and Australia about the business plan, I had a look on the budget and had a look on the papers. I'm not very informed how the FAO reform has also taken place in the institutional setup of the Codex. There, I think there are some more discussion needed. we will have maybe on the proposed business plan, we will have maybe some discussion. And therefore, by looking on this picture, I'm not able to say now we should move or we should not move this word. Because at the end, we have to regulate the legal things. But first, we have to know the practical impact and the solution in the future. And there, I think we should first clarify our future needs and then to change the legal basis. So that's a little bit how we proceed. So I would prefer to suggest maybe to come back to this issue later on, if it's possible. But at the moment, I cannot give you really a clear advice to move, because I think that the team, that the subject is so hot that we should not go too quickly for an easy solution. Thank you.
Thank you, coordinator from Europe. I see no more flags, then I would turn the... Oh, chair, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would reflect on the comment from the coordinator for Europe on this, to the point that I think maybe we would all agree that given the point he made about the ongoing discussions of reform in FAO and the changing ways we think about budgeting actually across all UN agencies, and even beyond UN agencies around the world in many economies. Our goal now should be, and also this reflects to a sense, in a sense, the member from Latin America, we should make no decision that would in any way limit our future flexibility. We want to be able to maximize our future flexibility and always be able to do so in a way that maintains transparency. We don't ever want to create a situation in which budget allocations could be secret or shape an agenda in a non-obvious, non-transparent way. But at the moment, we need to maximize our future flexibility. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Then I don't know whether FA O or WHO came first, so FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This issue has been in discussion for at least 3 or 4 years now. FAO is very much in line with what Chairperson has suggested for two reasons. One is the legal officers are still looking into the matter. But for another more important reason is that within FAO, as the coordinator for Europe just mentioned it, we are in a reform process. Our governing bodies have not yet decided finally on how the budget is going to be shaped in the future. There is, of course, a trend towards also including or incorporating in our budget part of the extra budgetary resources that are provided to FAO and also accounting them in our budget. But the discussion is not finalized yet, and probably will not be finalized at least before November of this year. So in my view, we should not rush until all these are completely settled and a clear position from our member countries in FAO. We should recall that FAO still pays 85% of the resources of Codex, and that should not be put in jeopardy. We would like to ensure also that it's another important factor, is that The nature of Codex work, as you know, is planning meetings and organizing meetings almost on a week, on weekly basis. There is a meeting always. And therefore, planning a meeting without secured funding is very, very, I would say, it could be very difficult if you don't have the secured funding. How can you plan a meeting for next year if you don't know that you have sufficient funds to cover the expense of these meetings? And without the secure budget for Codex, at least 2 years in advance, it's very difficult for a secretariat to plan and to be 100% sure to be able to implement those meetings. And therefore, for these reasons, FAO is very careful that we do not go into a situation where the budget of Codex is planned almost on a monthly basis, waiting for some funds to be allocated by donors or other sources, extra budgetary funds. It's important that we have this assurance, or the Secretariat has the assurance, that it can do its business knowing that it has the necessary funds in the budget to implement these meetings and to implement its work. And this is for mainly this type of reasons that it's important that we have a secure funding, and FAO would like to give a little time so that until discussion between the legal offices is concluded to see what are the options and what is the interest of Codex. And second, the current discussion within our governing bodies in FAO is also concluded on the way that the budget of FAO is going to be shaped in the future. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, FAO. And I give the floor to the WHO, please.
Thank you. I mean, it's like we're like in a family here, so we had the father speaking and the mother will now also speak. We're in a family where one of the parents has a problem. If one of the parents has a problem, the family has a problem. So WHO has a problem, and this was mentioned from the start, so I think it's a good thing is if WHO can explain what the problem is. The problem is that in WHO, we now have only 25% of the money that we use every biennium as regular budget, as assessed contribution. 75% of the money that we use from WHO is coming in as extra budgetary. Now, first, in relation to the member from Latin America and the Caribbean, coming in as extra budgetary funds does not necessarily mean that it's earmarked. Several countries are giving money to WHO totally unearmarked. So it means we will give you an additional 75 million. We don't care what you use it for. You use it according to the decision of the World Health Assembly. So, extra budgetary funds can easily be unearmarked. That was the first thing. The other thing is, there's been a lot of discussion about budget here, suggesting that Codex needs more money, the Codex Secretariat needs more money. We will have that discussion later on. If there is a need to put more money into Codex Secretariat, and I'm not saying that there is, but if there is, WHO has a problem putting this money in as regular budget, because such a big part of our funds are now extra budgetary. That is the problem. So, in a sense, the issue is not a legal issue. The issue is whether the Commission would agree to the change in the wording so that we can also use extra budgetary funds, not only regular budget funds. That's the issue. Then legal, of course, has to be involved because we have to consider what the legal implications of a change would be. But the suggested change was a very clear one, taking away regular, so it means we can use also the 75% of our budget in WHO, that is extra budgetary. That's a clear one. Then there are issues about the understanding of how secure money are when they are from the extra budgetary part of the pot. Because people believe that if it's from the regular budget, it's very secure, and if it's from extra budgetary, it's not so secure. That is the real issue. I can tell you that a number of very important programs, including all of our scientific advice on which Codex is based, comes from extra-budgetary funds. We are able to run a number of expert meetings all the time leading into Codex with extra-budgetary funds. So this is just an example that we can actually do something that works in this bigger picture from extra-budgetary funds. So we continue to have the problem, and of course, if there is need for further funding coming also from the WSO side, then I think Codex will also continue to have the problem. So that's the real issue, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. I see there's also a flag from Vice Chair Dade, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have carefully listened to FAO and WHO, and I have a proposal here. What the Article 9 says, inclusion in the regular budgets of the two organizations. Could we add extra budgetary sources into Article 9, which satisfies the requirement of WHO? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Does that require a specific comment from the FAO, the question raised by Vice Chair Davey, please?
Sir, with your permission, are you the... I take fully note of the fact that a number of options are open, and I take heed of the proposal of our chair that we should continue to discuss, to leave all options open. We should not preempt a discussion that is taking place between FAO and WHO and between the legal office of FAO and WHO and presumably also other offices like the budget office. So we are just, in a way, exchanging some ideas about this matter because we'll, of course, need to reconsider this issue again. And it is in this spirit that I wanted just to provide some further insights into this issue so that when you will be called upon to decide on this matter, you will take a fully informed decision. Now, and it's in that spirit only that I wanted to make some observations. You see, it's true that WHO has now an integrated budget which anticipates what will be our budget in future. Our budget will be structured and will have a format which will be similar to that of WHO. But precisely, it would seem, on the basis of preliminary information that we have obtained, that there will continue to be a radical distinction between assessed contributions, between matters financed by assessed contributions which derive from a strict legal obligation, and extra budgetary contributions. And it would seem that the future format of the budget will not eliminate this distinction, and indeed, this distinction has maybe will be exacerbated even by this format. We consider that the Codex is a negotiating platform, essentially, that there is a need for financing of some and stability in the financing of core activities of the Secretariat of Codex, which needs stability, predictability. Many costs cannot be further compressed or reduced. They are, in many cases, outside the control of the organizations. They reflect costs that are negotiated elsewhere. And we are, of course, afraid of losing regular program resources and not gaining extra budgetary contributions. So we have to be extremely prudent. And we are not saying that we should not accept extra budgetary contributions, but we are only putting forward a word of caution. And in putting forward these observations, I have the full backing of our colleagues of the legal office of WHO, which will, of course, have to assist and support the position of WHO. But so we wanted to bring this element to the debate, which will be a future discussion on this matter. We are not at all opposed to any future change. It is possible indeed to make a specific reference to extra budgetary contributions. It would be possible to maintain the current wording also, because it does not preclude publics from receiving extra budget contributions, but it's important that you should have this full picture. And I repeat again that we are just putting forward some elements so that you have the full picture. We are not taking, although we have a clear view on this matter, we are not preempting any future decision. We are just flagging a specific question. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Theo, for an extended explanation of a complicated problem. No other observations? FAO, I give the floor to FAO, please.
Now, just to answer my colleague from WHO on the use of the funds for scientific advice, I think he gave the example that we use, in fact, from FAO side as well. We use extra budgetary funds for our work on the provision of scientific advice, although the core funding for JECFA, JMPR, are from regular funds. And this is why they have been going on since 1956 or 62 for JMPR, and now without interruption. Now, when you look at the work on scientific advice, for instance, for GEMRA and others that are reliant very much on extra budgetary funds, they are done on an ad hoc basis. We cannot afford to do this for Codex. When we have funds, then we plan. If we don't have funds, then we cannot plan anything, even if Codex asks for scientific advice on this. This is the danger. I think we have to have assurance that we have the resources available for our assessed contributions to FAO and WHO for Codex, so that we can plan, we can implement, we are assured that we have the necessary resources to go ahead. If it is going to be reliant on whether we receive extra budgetary resources, whether earmarked or non-earmarked, because they might be non-earmarked for WHO, they may decide for FAO it has to be earmarked, because they have other programs that they like to support and not WHO, not Codex. What shall we do at that point? I think it's important to reflect and to give some time so that the legal offices from FAO and WHO get an agreement on this, and also the clarification also on the way that the budgeting system in FAO is going to be finalized in the reform of FAO towards the end of the year. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, FAO. I see there's a flag from the member of Latin American, the Caribbean. Please.
Sí, gracias, señor presidente. Solamente una reflexión respecto de lo señalado por FAO, y es que si bien el Codex depende de las evaluaciones de riesgo que hagan los grupos de expertos para poder fijar normas, lo cierto es que los grupos de expertos en sí no dependen de Codex, sino de FAO y OMS, y posiblemente en la aplicación de fondos extrapresupuestarios para evaluaciones de riesgos que no solo son para el Codex, sino también para los gobiernos, haya mayor libertad en el uso de fondos. Lo que en lo particular nos preocupa es que se mantenga la independencia de la comisión del Codex para definir su agenda, y que el tema de quién pone los fondos y a qué se asignan no termine afectando al Codex. Gracias.
Thank you, Latin America. I think we have had an extensive debate about this complicated problem, and I don't think there's many conclusions we can draw, but I will try at least to line up my understanding of the situation. First of all, I think we can we can state that there is not a real legal problem. There is a legal problem if you look at the text, but in the practical world, it has not constituted a practical problem. That is a good thing, and that leaves room for further legal discussion on how to handle the situation. We have heard very clear explanations from WHO explaining about the situation, the budget situation in the WHO, which certainly doesn't make it easy for them to give budget from the regular budget, but money may have to come from the extraparatory resources. FAO is pointing out the necessity of stability, which I'm sure we all support very much in this group. It's quite clear that without stability, it's very hard to do codex work, because it's a long-term planning, and the execution of codex work is not something you do from day to day. We can also realize that big changes appears to be on the table in both the organization, both FAO and WHO, which also makes it hard to draw any basic conclusions today. I'm sure that the very concrete proposal suggested by Vice Chair Dabe will, the FAO Legal Service has taken note of that proposal and will take it on board in their further considerations of what they could do. Then I think we come to the situation where our chair, our real chair, Karen Hulebach, said that what we really want is to keep all doors open. And I think that is the only conclusion that we can really have today, that obviously that is in the interest of Codex. Then afterwards, there will be follow-up of the discussions of solving possible legal problems. And we have heard from all the people involved that this is actually what they're going to do. And therefore, we can only ask them to continue that work in the hope that we get the resources that we need for running the Codex business, and it has to, or we wish that it is the budgets, the funds come from resources which are as stable as possible, because otherwise long-term planning, which is an absolute necessity, both in the scientific side and in the legal side, where and the risk management side, which we're working on, that has to be done. I think that is the conclusion I can draw from the discussion. I hope that will be satisfactory to the committee. I see nodding, so I take that for finalization at this point. So we finalize points 2C, no, sorry, that's wrong, 3B in the agenda point, and we thank the legal service from the FAO very much for contributing to this debate, and we move to another item. I see a flag from the Southwest Pacific, please.
Just one point, small point of clarification. Is this agenda still on the books for future discussion? Specifically, is there going to be any update at the next meeting of the Executive Committee?
We'll try our best. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope that was the necessary clarification for the Southwest Pacific. So, okay. We finalize this point and we jump back to agenda point 3A, the Codex budgets, where we have documents, Alinorm 0933/9A. And I don't think it requires any particular introduction from me, because it is a document for more or less for information, but certainly also for comments by this committee. It is the information about the what has happened in the Codex budget-wise in the last years, and most important, the budget for 2010-11. So I would like to give the word to the Secretariat for explanation of the content of the document. They have written it, and they are, say, responsible for its further execution. So, Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yes, writing this document was a bit like jumping on a moving train, in a way, because as the FAO budgeting procedure is changing, and we haven't yet received the full extent of what we will have to do. This is, in a way, a preliminary document. What I try to do in the first eight paragraphs of the document is to explain a little bit what is going to change in the future, what is already in the process of being implemented. Because beginning with the 2010-11 biennium, FAO is moving to results-based budgeting process. And this process directly connects resource allocations to specific measurable results. And for this, this is a top-down process. So the organization has started defining a number of strategic objectives, and the strategic objective to which the Codex Secretariat contributes is the strategic objective D, improved quality and food and safety of foods at all stages of the food chain. And to further break down this strategic objective, within this objective, a number of so-called organizational results have been defined, which support all of them, this strategic objective. And the organizational result to which the Codex Secretariat contributes is organizational result D01, which says new and revised internationally agreed standards and recommendations for food safety and quality that serve as the reference for international harmonization. The FAO unit providing scientific advice to Codex is also contributing to this organizational result. Now, if you're losing me, just stop me and ask questions, right? In order to break this down further, within, because it took me some time to understand it, but obviously I had the time to review it and to go through it. Within the organizational result, a number of unit results have been defined, which all of them contribute to one organizational result. The one that we defined for the Codex Secretariat was the unit result D0106, which is probably what you're going to see in the future as our budget line. And this is called the implementation of the work program of the Codex Alimentarius Commission in accordance with its strategic plan. And that was specifically chosen that way in order not to break up what the Codex Secretariat does too much into different unit results, but to keep it combined in accordance with what the Commission decides in its work program and in its strategic plan. When we go further down the line, which we haven't done yet, so this is the point where we are at the moment in the process. We have defined the unit results, but when we go further, this process will consist of defining projects and work plans to which then resources will be allocated. And if you listen closely, this sounds very much like an item that we're going to discuss afterwards, and this is also why we suggested to discuss the proposal for a business plan together with this item, because what we will have to do is then we will really have to look at our strategies and at the work program and to allocate projects and plans and budget to these individual items that support our work plan. So this will be the next step of the process. Maybe I pause here for any questions on the future in FAO budgeting. If there are any questions now, I'll just pause for a moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Are there any questions, or are you ready for listen to further explanation of the process going on? It seems like everybody has understood, and certainly we should thank Tom for a very clear explanation of the process and the ideas behind what is going on. So, Tom, I think you can continue. There seems to be no questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The second part of the document concerns the budget 2008-2009. So the biennium in which we currently are. As you know, in the next year, for the next commission, we're going to report in detail on the expenditures. But as we're still in the running year, this is information about what actually happened, how much did money did we actually get allocated, and where are we more or less. So the resources for the biennium 2008-2009 comprised the FAO contribution and the WHO contribution, and the initial planned FAO contribution was 7.195 million, which was then later reduced because the FAO conference requested all programs within FAO to come up with efficiency savings. And for the Codex Secretariat, this meant to come up with savings in the order of $206,000, which we did in our planning. But in September 2008, FAO decided to strengthen the Codex Secretariat by allocating additional funds corresponding to the post, to the cost of one P4 post. And that more or less compensated what we had to save in the efficiency savings in the first place. So obviously you can note that as our planning was at the beginning of the biennium and we got these funds allocated later, this is why sometimes at the end of the biennium we find ourselves with more money than we originally thought because it was allocated later, but which then we also, we have ways to spend it in a useful way. So, but it shows the importance of having the, what the FAO was also saying just now, of having the assurance about a budget at the beginning of the biennium, because only then we can make a proper planning if we have the assurance of how much actually are we going to have and what is actually going to be our budget. In addition to the regular budget, a Codex has presently two professional staff members seconded from member states who are assigned to the Codex Secretariat, and we also had until April of this year a seconded staff member to WHO that was assigned to the Codex Secretariat. Further figures on the budget and on actually of what we originally proposed, how much money was then approved, you find in Table 1 of in the annex to the document. You can see that the initial budget proposals at the 30th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission for the FAO contribution was 5.7 million. What then eventually was allocated was 6.989 million. The difference is explained through the fact that cost increases were compensated by the FAO, so there's a multiplier which is applied to the initial proposals, which takes into account cost increases due to the fact that the US dollar lost value against the euro, and most of our expenditure is in euro, and other cost increases that happen. I will pause for a moment again if there's any questions concerning 2008-2009 budget.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions, any comments from delegates to the history, so to speak, about budget situation? That doesn't seem to be the case. So, Tom, continue, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If we come now to the budget proposals for 2010-2011, at the time of the preparation of the document, the budget 2010-11 for FAO is still under development and should be reviewed later in the year by the FAO governing bodies. FAO's organizational wide budgetary level will be determined by the 36th session of the conference in November 2009. And as regards WHO, the organization's budget proposals have been approved by the 62nd session of the World Health Assembly in May 2009. And what we have heard from there is that the contribution from WHO will remain at the level of 1.225 million US dollars. And the assumptions that we had from FAO is that also their contribution will remain at the same level as in the 2008-2009 budget. Now, with this figure, if we go into the tables again, the table 2 shows you the contributions that we expect. You will note that it says on the top without cost increase, because for the time being we have not received any instructions from FAO as to which multiplier will be applied, or if there will be anything. We hope there will be something applied to compensate for cost increase. As you all know, salaries usually don't go down, salaries go up. Cost for staff goes up, cost for anything really goes up, and even though it may not be as dramatic as in the last biennium, because the main loss, I think, of the US dollar was at that biennium, and we hope that there's not another one at this biennium, so that might make things difficult. Then, so what does this mean for the Codex program? As you know, the significant portion of the Codex budget supports the organizations of the sessions of the Commission and the Executive Committee, and also the FAO-WTO coordinating committees. And also the Codex Secretaries, of course, supports the servicing of all the sessions of the subsidiary bodies, for which we provide the session secretariat and assist the host governments in the preparations of the meetings. The budgetary need is therefore very strong linked to the session schedule of the Commission. And for 2010-2011, the proposal is that the Codex Alimentarius Commission will continue to hold two sessions, that is annual sessions, during the biennium. The Executive Committee would hold three sessions in the 2010-2011 biennium, and the other subsidiary bodies, including FAO-WHO coordinating committees, will basically maintain the same meeting intervals as in the present biennium. So the proposed budget also assumes that the efficiency savings that we started doing in the 2006-07 biennium, e.g. a replacement of hard copy distribution of Codex documents by electronic distribution, publication in CD-ROM, and only limited printing of specific publications would be maintained. And further efficiencies in printing might be identified in order to allow the required increase in staff costs, to which I come right now. In the document there's one heading for some reason it's missing. You have an item called efficiency savings, and underneath there you have paragraph 15, which belongs to that heading. Then there should be a new heading saying secretariat structure or personnel structure, because from paragraph 16 it goes into that subject. So please apologize, my apologies for that missing heading. The proposed structure for the secretariat includes one new P4 post, a program officer, which would basically help us to deal with budget questions, to also to help in the preparation of the executive committee, to ensure that we could get documents out quicker, to make us more efficient, and so also ensure a certain permanence in the secretariat in Rome, in cases that the secretary and other senior officers are traveling, are involved in other Codex committees. So it's more someone who would ensure a permanence in Rome, and not does not have the title of food standards officer. So the costs for this officer. At the end of the last biennium, we got the costs attributed by FAO. But in the news that we got from FAO, which means that the level for the present biennium would be maintained, this means that the additional cost for that post would not be given to us. So this new post would be absorbed through additional savings and basically through a reduction in the amount reserved for other human resources, which we use presently to employ temporary assistants for when we really had specific items to be done, also items which would then be given to this officer, but to really on the understanding, because we really have been employing temporary staff on a very permanent basis, so to speak, and it's also the organization that encourages that if there is the need for additional human resources, that we cannot use temporary resources for a longer time, but there should be planning, and we should create a post and define the responsibilities for this post. And this is what we have done with this P4 post, because otherwise, with temporary staff, we run into the problem that we can only give 11-month contracts, then there's a one-month break, then after a certain amount of time, there's a six-month break, so we have no real permanence in the knowledge there, and we cannot really expect that they're going to stay. So we're doing investment, and on the other hand, we cannot expect them to grow within the Secretariat. So this is why the decision was taken to have this post within the Secretariat. Other changes in the human resources include one, upgrading of a P3 post to the P4 level, recognizing that we have a number of food standards officers within the Secretariat, and basically all of them do the same work. So to acknowledge that, we have foreseen one upgrading, and a similar upgrading area or regrading possibility in the general service area. Sorry. The new post that we created under paragraph, which is mentioned in paragraph 16, has already been advertised, and the selection process will begin soon. Of course, the proposed staffing changes will need to be reviewed by the FAO administration. As you know, the program is administered by FAO on behalf of FAO and WHO, and will also depend a little bit on the outcome of the discussions of the report on the evaluation of the capacity of the Codex Secretariat, because there also, if you have studied the report, some proposals were made for an additional post dealing with electronic data processing, for instance. Now, what would this mean, the budget, for the language coverage? For the language coverage, it would mean that for the time being, we would not be able to take Russian on board as an additional language for the Commission. We would hope that for the CC Euro, it would be possible to continue the possibility that has been given generously by the coordinator to organize Russian translation for the CC Euro. For the question of Portuguese language in CC Africa, you may recall that we had agreed to, on an experimental basis, use Portuguese as a language for interpretation in CC Africa. The CC Africa, at its 18th session, has very much appreciated this, and they are even asking for introducing this also as a language for translation. For several reasons, for the moment, we propose we could maintain this on an experimental basis as a language for interpretation, but the Codex Secretariat does not suggest yet to make this a permanent arrangement. The last item here, we have the number of sessions of the Executive Committee. We know that this is a concern for several delegations, has been expressed at the last Commission, and one additional session would cost approximately 200,000, which we do not think we safely have at the moment in order to foresee this fourth session, so this is why we did not suggest it in this present budget paper. for the further breakdown of the proposed budget 2010-2011, please refer to Table 2, where the allocations to staff costs and general expenses, equipment, and so on are given in more detail. So I will stop here to recover my voice and let you ask questions.
Thank you, John. Thank you for a very detailed, profound explanation of the document, which gives a lot of information to all of us about what goes on, what kind of developments you are working on in the Secretariat. So I would certainly like to see if any delegates have comments or questions to what Thomas explained to us. And I see a flag from the Latin American and Caribbean member, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Más que preguntas, a lo mejor alguna aclaración necesitaría. ¿Hay diferencias en las áreas de competencia entre los distintos oficiales de normas respecto de la categoría que tienen? ¿Un P3, un P4, un P5 cumplen la misma función contractual y en la práctica también o en realidad tienen distintas competencias? La otra cuestión, y esto quizás tiene que ver con nuestro manejo en Argentina, ¿se estaría previendo la contratación, por lo que se informa, de una persona con un cargo alto para procesamiento de datos? Entiendo, no sé qué categoría es. La de procesamiento de datos, que es un administrativo, o es... Digo, lo pregunto porque en Argentina prácticamente son administrativos los que se ocupan del procesamiento de datos. Habida cuenta de que pareciera haber un retraso en la elevación de categorías de los oficiales de normas, y realmente... En lo particular no comprendo demasiado la necesidad si la FAO tiene un centro de procesamiento de datos y de comunicación de que el Códex tenga uno cuando en realidad lo que necesita es más personal técnico profesional para elaborar los documentos de negociación. ¿Cuál sería el sentido de esto? Quisiera alguna aclaración sobre eso. Gracias.
Thank you, Latin America. Before I give Tom a chance to respond, I would like to give the word to the coordinator of Europe, please.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the detailed explanation of the FAO about the budgeting. I have maybe only small two remarks. When you are going to presenting the budget in the plenary, I would suggest that on the point three, where you have the result-based budgeting, that you also explain that there is also results-based management, which is made bottom-up. So that means that the Commission is in the future FAO reform process, asked to bring their needs into the planification process of the FAO. So you have there, the Commission itself has a new task because it is a bottom-up process. The budgeting is then a top-down, but your task is to bring in your needs in the planification of in the future. That's why I refer to the so-called business plan. It's a very important issue to deal with. And the second remark I have, it's a small one, I think the conclusions give a little bit a wrong impression about who is deciding the budget. The budget as a whole is approved by the governing body of FAO, and it's not a guidance to the DG. It's an obligation. So I think there is a small reverting of the formulation of the point 22. Thank you.
you, coordinator of Europe. I don't see any of the flags, so I would like to give the word to Tom to answer the questions being raised. Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The first question was concerning different competencies of food standards officers asked by the member from Latin America and the Caribbean. As a matter of fact, there are different competencies between P3, P4 on the one hand and P5 on the other, because P5 senior food standards officers take on competences for the overall management of the in the secretariat. In the present case, it is Selma Doran taking responsibility for the whole standard setting operation, session planning, critical review, things that look over the functioning of the whole process. Whereas I am responsible for the communication part, for publications, for the work actually that has come out of the commission, for the results, for communicating them to the members and making sure that the communication with the contact points functions well, and so on, and bringing in ideas on that. So there's a difference there. Between the P3 and P4s, if you look at the job descriptions, you will find very little difference. You will find that a P3 sometimes would be employed as a P3 because it's a junior person, because it's somebody who doesn't have so and so many years of experience, which then obviously he or she acquires while working and actually has to fulfill the same tasks. And it is, they have to serve as representatives of the Codex Secretariat in the committees, and therefore the grade of P4 would be adaptable. The proposed new structure would still leave one P3 post in order to allow us to employ a junior person. But I have heard from the reform that is going to happen that in the future it may be possible to have also like double grading posts that could be started as a P3, and then you could have a job growth to a P4 on the post easier, in order not to have to go through the lengthy process of then putting the post out and having to recruit and having to actually recruit somebody who you already have there, for and not really a change, but really something which is a job course. So where I would say from P3, P4 to P5, there would be a level, a jump, and then, but P3, P4, I would say it is more a job growth that we have here. Then the question concerning the person dealing with electronic data processing, this is actually not included in this proposal, in this budget proposal, that person. So I have made no assumption about the grade of that person in this document, because I haven't put this at all. The reason why, because we have big plans for the Codex website in order to make it more interactive, in order to make it really a tool to manage our work better, more timely, to be more safe in receiving comments, to make it easier for us to put comment papers together, to make the website, if we can, even already a platform for negotiation between members, by making it more transparent, making also the building of our comment papers maybe more transparent, so that people can see which papers are up for question. I mean, what questions do we ask? What circular letters are active? And who has already replied? Who has replied what? Where do I still have to reply to as a contact point? So to make it very interactive, and this is quite a complex system for which to rely on outside service, FAO, I consider, well, I should not say outside firms, but parent organization or services, who at the moment are also reforming and whose access I cannot ensure at each moment, because one of the troubles I have sometimes with the updating of our website at the moment is that suddenly a organization-wide initiative is started and all resources there are taken, and then I cannot do it. So if I want to make our website a very important communication tool, which over which functioning I have the control and which I can ensure, then I'm going to be in trouble. So this is why it is proposed to have an officer there dealing with that. This is not going to be proposed at the P4 level, because presently there we also have temporary assistance on a permanent basis, I have to say. So creating a post there would only make explicit what is already happening. So which level, if it's going to be a P, usually it would be a P2 post at this level, probably. That's what the people would be employed, webmaster, programmer, and so on, because it would be quite a complex task, actually. That was the questions from the member from Latin America and the Caribbean. Yes, the question from the coordinator from Europe, I agree. Once we get to the... Oh, he's not in. But once we get to the complete process of the budgeting, this will actually also send a message about our needs. Once we get to the work planning stage, this will also send a message to then the governing bodies about our needs. We're not at that stage of the process yet. We're going to get there, but we're not quite at the end yet. Concerning the conclusion, reworking of paragraph 22, I can only say that this document was reviewed by the PBE, and they have specifically looked at that part. So this is why, for the moment, I do not see in which way to reword it. That would have been my answer to the coordinator had he been in the room. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom, for very extensive, I think very clear explanations. I hope it was satisfactory, at least to the Latin American and Caribbean member, while the European member coordinator is not present, so he cannot respond to that. But I see no more flags, so I would like to try to... FAO, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Just few words to explain the process that is going on now in FAO in the reform process, let's say, of FAO, and what concerns the budget. For this biennium, I think as was indicated by the coordinator of Europe, the plan is to have also the budgeting from bottom up, that is, the needs are expressed by the different units, divisions, whatever, and through the organizational units, and then organizational results, and then also the strategic objectives, so that one should have the a clear picture of what the needs of each program or each strategic objective is, and then from there it goes to our membership for discussion and also approval. For this biennium, the forthcoming biennium rather, which will be discussed by the conference in November, decision has been taken that we will not go. There's no time to go into this process and prepare the budget, the program work and budget. On these lines for November, so the instruction was to use zero growth level as it was before, and this is why we are planning for zero growth level, plus of course the cost increase will be decided before November. We'll have a clear picture of what FAO contribution to the Codex budget before November, but in the future after following biennium, I think we will start the bottom-up approach where every unit, every program, strategic objective will have its proposals for budget that will be reviewed by our governing bodies and then approved according to the needs and not according to what would have been decided by management beforehand. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO, for this explanation. It's another enlargement of what goes on in the future. There's a lot of things to be watching, to discussing, in whatever role we will have in the future. I see a flag from the member of Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, everyone. Just briefly on the issue of paragraph 22 and the point raised by the delegate from Switzerland who's sitting as coordinator for Europe. He is permanently based here and knows about FAO business, and I just suggest perhaps to him that he might discuss in the margins whether paragraph 22 properly reflects the position, so we're clear when we get to the Commission. I note that the paper is based on the assumption that there will be the same number of meetings in the forthcoming biennium as the current one. So there will be no savings, which is obviously regrettable. No fewer meetings, which I think is possibly the aim. Last year, there was great concern about losing a meeting of the Executive Committee. And this is proposed again, that there would not be a meeting of the Executive Committee in December of 2010. And on reflection, that is probably sensible, given the cost and given the burden on the Secretariat, especially at a time when there is likely to be a meeting of the General Principles Committee, so that they would come very closely together. So I think my reflection is that that is probably the right decision. Based on the experience, though, of this particular week, it might be sensible to schedule a slightly longer meeting for 2011 in June. In other words, start on a Monday, for example, because it's quite clear that without an Executive Committee meeting in the sequence, it puts more of a burden on the summer meeting. So that would be my recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Member from Europe, a few comments on the planning. Tom, does it give reason for any comment for you, or do you just take on board the recommendation from the member of Europe? Okay, I see no more flags, and I would like to... I forgot, the WHO has asked for the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one minor thing from WHO. I'm not trying to explain all the details of the budgeting process in WHO, and I don't think it's necessary for everybody to know that here. We don't need that detail. But you might want to know that the DG of WHO has actually decided to cut down the regular budget of WHO approximately 16%. There is some concern that there might not be the same level of funding coming in to UN organizations the coming biennium. We are, however, still protecting Codex and remaining with the same level of funding, even though we have to make savings in other areas. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. I'm sure we appreciate that. So far, you have saved the Codex for cutting budgets in relation to other major decisions that is being taken by the leadership of the WHO. I think I would like to try to sum up the what has happened during this part of the session. I would like to thank very much Tom for a very good explanation, and I think we have got a very clear understanding of what goes on. We have read the document, we have heard Tom's additional remarks and explanations to what happened, and I think we should note that at least we have had a stable budget in the Codex Secretariat and the Codex budget for some years now, and we have already noted that this is a very important. There's a lot of technical explanations behind, but the conclusion is that we have had a fairly stable budget for some years, and I think that is a very positive situation. For the 2010 to 2011 budget, Tom has explained us about the development, the number of meetings, what will happen to the commission, what will happen to the executive committee, and to the committees. And obviously, beneath this, there are a lot of changes inside the secretariat and how they do, and I think it's very appreciable that we can hear that the secretariat still works hard on cutting costs wherever they can without detrimental consequences to the functioning of the Codex. They try to reduce the number of papers, cost for printing and things like that, and go more and more in direction of using the electronic media, which is, well, also a global trend. That's what we do, all of us at home, I'm sure. And I think it's very interesting to note, besides this issue of appointing a new P4 staff member, it's very important to notice that it has high priority in the secretariat to develop the website. I think that is a wish of everybody working with Codex issues. It's very, very important globally to be able to find as much information and to use the website as interactive as possible. So I think we should express appreciation to the secretariat for really prioritizing that. The issue of languages, I think we can only take note of what has been said by the secretariat. There was no remarks on it, and I think it appears to me to be the logic consequence of the resource situation, that we're not able to take any permanent decisions on the use of Portuguese in Africa, and the situation with Russian is also has to be looked at a later case if necessary. We take notes that there will only be four or three executive meetings in the next biennium, and that has also been accepted. I think that is, I hope that's a fair summing up of the debate we have had, and there are no particular comments that has, there's particular message from the executive committee to the commission concerning this issue that has been proposed, and therefore we don't have any decision on that. And I think this, on this basis, we can finalize this point in the agenda point, but I would like to announce that I think we should, the coffee break is planned for 11, now it's 5 to 11, so I hope the coffee is ready, because it would not be very practical to start the next item just 5 minutes before. The next item is the business plan, the document which has been prepared by New Zealand and Australia, and certainly that relates very closely to what we have just been discussing. But we will take that right after the coffee break. So I wish you a good break. Thank you.